I find it funny. What did I see all throughout the night tonight? Oh, Vince McMahon is back in creative. Because we got segments like this, Otis and Cody Rhodes sharing a little bit of a comedy segment. Or what about this with Brock Lesnar?
High fives on that one.
High five. Woo-hoo! High five. Or better yet, Seth Rollins grabbing the Miz's phone, FaceTiming Logan Paul. Logan Paul does not know how to look into the phone. And then, oh my God, we cannot let this pass up. Bray Wyatt, Bobby Lashley. I didn't have time, everyone, but I wanted to get that video clip of Beavis and Butthead when they're, what Beavis is humping the couch. Ooh, yeah. Yeah, just this is what I thought of tonight. This is what it kind of reminded me of. This is what it felt like tonight.
You don't really have a choice. And pull up your pants and do the muscle man dance. Now wiggle your behind. Erase your mind. Pull up your pants and do the muscle man dance.
Oh yeah. I almost forgot. Lita and I almost said Trish Stratus. Lita. It should have been Lita and Trish Stratus. I think that would have been much cooler, but Becky Lynch and Lita winning the women's WWE Tag Team Championships. I don't know about you guys. Did that give you a little bit of Edge, Hulk Hogan vibes from, a little less than 20 years ago? What, 2000, what was it, 3, 4, 5? I would say around that time period. Kind of gave me that vibe. Main event was obviously rushed. Trish Stratus coming out. Seemed a little bit premature. I think the timing was a little bit off, but 2002. Oh, yes. How can I forget? 4th of July. That's right. That's the vibe that I got tonight. And I'm not complaining. Obviously, Lita and Becky Lynch will not keep these championships all that long. Hell, I don't even know if they'll have a title defense before WrestleMania. But you know what? Hey. You know, sometimes you do things because it just feels good. I mean, if you would have saw the net tonight, I mean, the majority of the net, I mean, getting triggered beyond belief because of this. You know, a lot of people don't realize that it's not too long ago where they were shitting on the fact that Brock Lesnar came back last year to fight Roman Reigns at SummerSlam. The fuck is this guy coming back for? We don't need him on our TV. Now, all of a sudden, a 5-minute match at WrestleMania against Omos is so goddamn important to them. I mean, what the fuck? How's about feeling good for Omos for a change? I mean, I'm going to go into it with open eyes because Omos and Braun Strowman had a decent match in Saudi Arabia. I mean, think of a Brock Lesnar match. You're not going to look at what we got it. With Bobby Lashley, I mean, what did you want? A fight pit? That was possible. But what the fuck? I mean, one thing you have to agree with is that this is not even the entitled era. Because entitled era was more like 10, 15 years ago. This is the cake and ice cream era. That every single detail, every single match, every single person has to get exactly what they want. Otherwise, they cry like little babies. If the nipple is not in the mouth, they whine and cry. Eat a fucking Snickers bar. Snickers, the host of WrestleMania 39. You don't like it? Eat a fucking Snickers. There's going to be about 8 hours of WrestleMania programming. You're going to get that triggered over a 5-minute match? The fuck out of here. Seriously. I mean, I know, you know, that's not the in thing to say right now because I'm obviously pissing off more people than who agree with me. But WrestleMania is going to be huge, gigantic. There's going to be so many goddamn matches, a little bit for everyone. You know, we talk about, and I brought this up a couple of weeks ago, we talk about The Undertaker and his undefeated reign until Brock Lesnar ended that streak. You, with all due respect, you look at The Undertaker's matches at WrestleMania, the latter part of his career, the middle to the late part of his career, the matches were better. You could probably pick a top 10 of the worst Undertaker matches of all time. And I got news for you. A lot of them would be from WrestleMania. Let's be honest. Not every single person is going to have the cake and ice cream match, the pinnacle, the cream that I could have. I'm kind of happy more for Omos than anything else. Eat a fucking Snickers. That's my honest opinion about it. But, you know, it was a little bit bizarre land tonight. I mean, a lot of people tonight, you know, it's funny, and I'll keep saying this, and I don't care who I anger. You know, Triple H has been part of the WWE machine since the middle 90s. You know, we think of all the skits, you know, from him humping a mannequin to when Evolution electrocuted Gold, when he got Tourette syndrome. And, you know, Triple H, I'm not criticizing the guy, but everybody tries to make it sound like because he ran NXT and he had a heart attack that he's an outsider, that his mentality that Vince McMahon did not rub off on him creatively in the last 27 plus years. I mean, what am I living in bizarro land? I don't know. I don't know. It's kind of funny. I got to give a shout out to El Guero. Thank you for the $3 super chat. Theme parks with Johnny with the $5 super chat. I actually disabled monetization tonight because I got a little technical issue. Can't put shit on the screen. But Johnny says, what has it been since 2006 or so before Lita was a champion? And no, he doesn't think that Io and Dakota are buried. I don't know who said that they were buried. I mean, you know, I think this is just a feel-good moment. And there's nothing wrong with a feel-good moment. Look, a lot of people say that the women's tag team division in WWE is terrible. A lot of people say that, you know, outside of Kai and Sky, the women's tag team division is shit. So what is the big deal if you put the tag titles on Lita and Becky Lynch for a little while? It's a memory. We just compared it to Edge and Hulk Hogan. That's the vibe that I first got. You know, am I going to look? Listen, with all due respect, we had some conversations over the weekend about the Wrestling Observer Awards, or some of you call it the Meltzer Awards. And people are losing their shit online because 400-something people voted Tony Khan as Booker of the Year. I totally disagree with it, but that's my opinion, and other people gave their opinions. That's the beauty about wrestling. We all have different opinions. But the thing is, for some reason, because 500 people say that AEW is the promotion of the year, you get I don't want to say 5 million, you get about 5,000 people online all losing their shit. You know, everybody has different opinions. And if you're going to tell me that Chris Jericho is in the top five for wrestler of the year, you know, then I think it's safe for us to also say that, you know what, Lita being a tag team champion in 2023, even if she only has two or three matches, so what? So what? Is it that big of a deal? It's not. It was a feel-good moment tonight. But I will say this. I will say this, and I think some of you will agree with me on this. Didn't the main event feel like it was something was missing? I mean, look, you and I talked for 2 weeks straight that Trish Stratus was going to be involved. And the six-woman tag team match at Mania has happened. We brought up a lot of sausage the last couple of weeks. You know, everything. And it's happening. But still, even with Trish coming out, something just felt like it was missing. You know what I personally think should have happened? I think Lita should have showed up in WWE a month earlier. And we should have had a lot of interference with Damage Control and Lita, where it's almost impossible odds, and maybe Lita then aligns with Becky Lynch. The enemy of my enemy is my friend. And then they have this unholy alliance, and then they end up becoming friends, almost like the Jey Uso, Sami Zayn. Obviously, Cliff Notes, because you can only do that in a couple of weeks. I think if Lita would have came onto TV about a month earlier and built that for three, four weeks, you could have hinted that okay, here's a good example. Here's a good comparison. Rhea Ripley. Do you remember when AJ Styles, Gallows, and Anderson were feuding with Judgment Day. And every week, Rhea Ripley was getting involved. And, you know, AJ Styles said that they had to get someone to take care of Rhea Ripley to negate that issue. And we thought somebody was going to show up in Saudi Arabia or somebody was going to show up on TV, and it didn't happen. And she went ahead and screwed him over even further. And it was like, okay, that was the perfect opportunity to introduce someone to basically offset Rhea Ripley, and they never did that. They should have done this or righted the wrong with Lita and Damage Control, where, okay, Damage Control is 3-on-2, 3-on-1, 3-on-2, 3-on-1. We got to get someone to offset that, you know, 3-on-2. And that's when people start chanting for Trish. I think we would have gotten at least a week or two of the chants for Trish. And then she shows up. Fans feel like they got what they wanted. She helps Lita and Becky win the tag titles. That leads to the 6-woman match at WrestleMania. So that's the only thing I would have done different, but I'm not complaining. I thought it was a fun episode of Raw. I don't mind the comedy segments. I mean, you get a little bit for everyone, but tonight we'll recap Raw. We'll get into some wrestling tidbits of news. We'll get into this week in ratings as well. And couple of things going on this week. If you didn't see Raw tonight, Roman Reigns and Cody Rhodes are confirmed for SmackDown on Friday. And as I showed you earlier, they had a segment where Seth Rollins FaceTimed Logan Paul. And he challenged Logan Paul to appear on Raw next week in Boston, Massachusetts, which he said he will. So we're going to have two face-to-faces next week and two matches that are going to be confirmed for Mania. Logan Paul and Seth Rollins, Austin Theory and John Cena. Austin Theory did a segment today, an interview segment with Kathy Kelly, where he said he hustles, he has loyalty, you know, but he doesn't have the respect. And he said that he truly respects John Cena, but all he wants next week is for John Cena to respect him in return. That's going to lead to their match. Logan Paul and Seth Rollins are going to have a massive pull-apart next week. That's going to lead to a match. As we discussed last week, even though everybody and their mother thought that Finn Balor and Edge was done after Elimination Chamber, they are having a Mania match. And the stipulation that we talked about last week is on the table. Doesn't it feel awfully abrupt for Edge to possibly retire early in 2023? I know he said 2023 was his last year, but not April of 2023. Do it in December of 2023. I think a lot of us, you know, want to see the possibility of Christian, you know, maybe having one last match with Edge, unless there's a 3-year deal with. We had the conversation last week about Christian and AEW. No one seems to be interested about it outside of us. You know, Christian, we don't know if it's a 2-year deal or a 3-year deal. Now I'm starting to wonder if Edge is going to be retiring early in 2023. You know, first of all, you got to wonder if there's some injury stuff going on, because that guy fought for so many years, 9 years to return. And yes, he's been back for quite some time, but what's the big rush? Why wouldn't he just have maybe 2-3 matches a year? You know, the fact that he is content and just pack it up, man, I think the selfish wrestling fan in me is talking right now more than anything else. But, you know, next week we'll probably have that confrontation with Edge and Finn Balor too. You know, that's why they set up the match with Gargano versus Finn Balor next week, to plant the seed that Finn Balor's already announced for Raw next week, that should spark Edge coming in. And we'll see what happens there. You know, I mean, common sense tells you that the WrestleMania card is going to be a little bit smaller compared to the last year or two, which is fine. You give the matches a little bit longer. You know, I saw some stupid news this week that, you know, some wrestlers are upset that they're not going to be on WrestleMania. Tell me what fucking year that the wrestlers were all in glee. Hey, look, I'm not going to be on WrestleMania this year. Yay! Cool, man. That's not news. Nobody wants to be left off of WrestleMania. And you don't even know. You ever notice that nobody says any names of who is upset? Because if they mention the name and then the person is involved in a battle royal, Andre the Giant battle royal or something, then they look stupid. You know, it's a lot of sausage. It's a lot of dumb shit. But so next week we have the two face-to-faces. Tonight they officially announced Brock Lesnar and Omos, which, you know, it is what it is. You know, we'll see what happens with that. And we had another announcement tonight. You know, look, props to everyone. I think we all saw this coming. Miz is going to be the official host of WrestleMania 39. I am holding out hope that LA Knight joins him. I honestly think, you know, LA Knight, there's no feud going on right now. He is still wrestling Bray Wyatt at house shows. And these lights out street fights are short, extremely short. In fact, you know, I've watched some of the videos, and I'm a huge Bray Wyatt fan. I don't need to, you know, defend that or back it up. But you watch these matches that they're doing on the house show circuit, it doesn't even feel like Bray Wyatt is doing it to get back, you know, get off the ring rust. Because you see what's going on in those matches, I don't know what kind of ring rust, other than maybe some cardio, you know, could be, you know, I don't know. But, you know, other than that, LA Knight has nothing. You got two nights of WrestleMania. Why not have LA Knight and The Miz co-hosting WrestleMania? There would be some comedy banter going back and forth. Both of them can talk really, really well. And look what LA Knight said on Friday. You can't have a Los Angeles WrestleMania without LA Knight. It fits like a glove. So I'm holding out hope. I'm holding out hope that LA Knight joins The Miz as a co-host of WrestleMania. So Raw tonight, we had also, actually, before we talk about Raw, let me talk about something else that I think is pretty important. Because now people are going to get upset twice. They're going to get upset twice. Did you hear about the news? Oh, that's SmackDown Friday. Wrong thumbnail. Here's the right thumbnail. Here's the right one. Sami Zayn versus Roman Reigns 2 is happening. It is happening. Toronto. This weekend, I think March 5th, they will be battling. In fact, not only are they going to have that match, check this out. Do you remember last week I gave you a little sausage that Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn may team up to take on Roman Reigns and Solo Sikoa? Well, guess the other match that was announced for that night. Solo Sikoa versus Kevin Owens. Here's something to think about as far as WWE goes. I know it's a house show. I know it's a house show. But for the record books, if they leave it a one-on-one match, fans who are already pissed off that Sami Zayn did not defeat Roman at Elimination Chamber, now Sami will have a second loss under his belt against Roman Reigns. So I wonder if Solo Sikoa in some way gets involved and then Kevin Owens shows up and this leads to a tag match. Maybe the one-on-one ends in disqualification. The other two guys get involved and then they make an impromptu tag team match. And we get Kevin Owens, Sami Zayn versus Solo Sikoa and Roman Reigns. Canada would fucking love to see a little preview of Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens working together. Obviously, they have to start becoming a tag team if they're going to take on the Usos at Mania. So this weekend, Sami Zayn, as of now, takes on Roman Reigns again, one-on-one, for the undisputed WWE Universal Championship. So I hope it does end in a DQ, because I think a lot of people online will say, oh, they're just rubbing it in now. Now Sami has two losses against Roman Reigns. You know, some people didn't understand. I could tell who just read the synopsis from yesterday's show and who actually tuned in. You know, yesterday we got into detail why, even though Sami Zayn got pinned at the Elimination Chamber, even though he lost at the Chamber, he won. When that 48-hour documentary comes out, Sami Zayn has cemented himself as now a main eventer for WWE programming for the foreseeable future. In the end, Sami Zayn's value and his status has gone up. And in even though he lost, he won. I'm telling you. I know we want to see him as heavyweight champion. There's plenty of time to do it. Now is not the time. It's not the time. You don't take over a year's worth of storyline and planning and throw it out the window because, again, the cake and ice cream crew out there, they got to have it their way. They got to have that emoji. I'll keep bringing up that heart emoji that's like this with the hearts and hold and the arms holding up like this. Every match, every participant, every outcome has got to have that feel-good cake and ice cream. I have that warm feeling inside. You know, I feel like I just drank a hot chocolate. You know, I just feel like I smoked a cigarette after dinner. I feel like I just got laid. I feel like I just, you know, met someone online. Someone, a famous wrestler just liked my tweet. You know, that feeling, that warm feeling inside that I wish I could bottle. You know, every single outcome has got to be that way, and it can't be that way. And again, if you switch the direction for Sami Zayn, you fuck up Kevin Owens. You fuck him up big time. Because it makes him look like a goof with all the stuff that's going on. What are you going to do, turn him heel again? And then he feuds with Sami Zayn for the title after Mania? It's stupid. Leave it alone. Leave it alone. All right. Do you remember when Chelsea Green first made her WWE return? And she was asking for special chocolates. And she wanted certain things prim and proper. And I said, she's not being a Karen. She's being a Carmella. And we were talking about how, you know what? Chelsea Green and Carmella would be a pretty damn good tag team. Do you remember that conversation a couple of weeks ago, everyone? Guess what? I think Pepperidge Farm remembers. Tonight, we had a segment with Chelsea Green and Carmella. And they seem to be forming a little bit of an alliance, and I like it. To quote Ric Flair from 1991, I like it. I like it. WWE should definitely put them as a tag team. I felt it as soon as she made her return. She's not being a Karen. She's doing a Carmella when Carmella had Reggie. You remember Reggie? Not Scripps. I almost said Stacks. You know, remember Reggie when he was giving her the champagne and the caviar and the strawberries? And, you know, that's basically what Chelsea Green is doing. There is so much potential. And you know what the great thing about it is? Carmella has improved over the last couple of years. Chelsea Green is very talented, and she's not yet over with the WWE Universe. You put her with Carmella, boom, instant over. Instant over. I think both of them could help each other big time. So that's a good little thing that came out of this tonight. And I got news for you. I will bet you that a majority of the net out there will be in favor of Chelsea Green and Carmella. In fact, I got to start thinking of a good name for that team. You know, hey, Mella is money. What's the color of money? Green. Chelsea Green. Mella is money. Money is green. I'm not saying that the team is called Money is Green, but it kind of like, I think we're on to something, everyone. I think we're on to something. All right. So let's run down Raw quickly since we got into quite a bit of tidbits of news already. Tonight on Raw, they opened up with Solo Sikoa and Jimmy Uso. And Jimmy Uso is, you know, doing his usual stick, you know, that the bloodline is in your city. And, you know, he's talking about how, you know, the bloodline, that he sees what's going on online. He reads the tweets that everybody thinks there's cracks in the foundation. He says families fight all the time. And his crowd starts chanting Sammy. And he says, if you come for one member of the bloodline, you come for all members of the bloodline. Kevin Owens couldn't do it. Sami Zayn couldn't crack the bloodline. And he brings up Cody Rhodes. And he says, at WrestleMania, do you think he will get one over on your tribal chief? Hell no. Hell no. Street Profits come in. And the Street Profits, you know, they're making fun of Solo Sikoa wrestling barefoot, brings up Solo Sikoa's bunions. And then the Street Profits, they start making fun of Jimmy Uso because of the WWE 2K23 video game. For those that don't know what Montez Ford was talking about earlier when he said that Jey Uso was ranked 90 on the video game. The controversy there, everyone, is this. Jey Uso is ranked ranked 90. He's got a rating of 90 in the game, and Jimmy Uso has a rating of 89. So a little friendly competition there. Jey Uso slightly ahead of Jimmy, and I don't think anybody would argue about that. But if I was Jimmy Uso, I would have come back with this. Yeah, look at Montez Ford. I think Montez's rating is a little bit low. I would put Montez Ford maybe like 87, 86, maybe around that level. I mean, obviously, they wanted to keep it distant from the Usos. But, yeah, all he had to do is just bring up their rating in the game, and you would have quickly shut up the Street Profits. But we had a fun match tonight. But the outcome is more of what we have seen in quite some time now. Angelo Dawkins eating the pin, Solo Sikoa with the Samoan spike. After the match is over, Jimmy Uso takes out Angelo Dawkins. Montez Ford is laid out in the corner in the ring. Solo Sikoa wraps a chair around his neck. And before he could run into Montez Ford and, you know, trying to end his career, this happens. Kevin Owens, by the way, Kevin Owens wearing a hoodie. I guess that's the new thing now. When you do a run-in, you got to wear a hoodie. Because he was wearing a hoodie also tonight. He shows up and, you know, I don't know where they're going with this with Baron Corbin. They've done this 3 weeks in a row now. Later on in the show, Kevin Owens, you know, he's part of the roster. He doesn't need to wear a hoodie. I mean, you know, you hit the ring. I mean, yeah, everybody knows who it is. But Baron Corbin was being interviewed by Byron Saxton. And Baron Corbin, before he could address, like, look, I see what the people are talking. And Byron Saxton's like, we got to end this interview. We got to end. And he ends it so he could interview Kevin Owens. So, you know, you kind of feel like, okay, we've gotten this 3 weeks in a row now. You know, because remember, Sami Zayn interrupted Corbin, Cody Rhodes. There was something a little bit with Corbin. I think there was even another segment where Corbin, they had to end it a little bit early. But next week, Kevin Owens is taking on, isn't he taking on Solo Sikoa next week? I think he's taking on Solo Sikoa. So you see where the seeds are being planted now. But Baron Corbin, man, I don't know where you go with him. Are they going to dare turn him babyface? You know who might be turning babyface, right? We've had this conversation before, and that is Omos. Now, tonight, we had the MVP lounge, and it was MVP and Brock Lesnar. So Brock Lesnar shows up a little bit early today, and he's chilling on the couch, and MVP comes out there, and MVP, you know, he's a little bit reluctant, and Brock Lesnar's telling him, he's like, look, I have no beef with you, MVP. This is all about business. And the crowd starts chanting Suplex City, and MVP's like, you know, why are you putting that thought in his head? So Brock tells MVP, do me a favor and do the fans a favor. Sell us on a fight. Convince us why I should take on Omos at WrestleMania. Brock promises no suplexes to MVP tonight. MVP enters the ring, and he takes Brock Lesnar for his word. And MVP is basically putting over Brock Lesnar. And he says, you know, if Brock puts his hands on someone, if he takes them to Suplex City, if he F5s someone, it's all over. But he couldn't have his way with Bobby Lashley. And Brock Lesnar won't be able to put his hands on a giant because a giant puts his hands right back on Brock Lesnar. He says that the beast could destroy any man, but a giant could subdue the beast. So fucking MVP is loving it. MVP, he high fives MVP. And, you know, MVP is, yeah, I showed you earlier. Yeah, he's looking at him like, you know, what the fuck is going on over here? So they want to have a toast to the agreement that Omos will take on Brock Lesnar at WrestleMania. So MVP has two glasses, two empty cups that he wants to put champagne in. So Brock Lesnar's got a different idea. Brock Lesnar pulls out a flask that he calls White Lightning, and he takes a big slug of it, and he wants MVP to take a slug of it as well. And MVP's like, no, I'd rather just have the champagne. And Brock is like, you know, you ain't going to let me drink alone, are you? So Brock Lesnar pretty much forces MVP to take a shot. So MVP takes a slug of it, tastes awful, spits it inadvertently in Brock Lesnar's face. Brock Lesnar takes his handkerchief out of MVP's suit, wipes his face off, blows his nose, shoves it back into MVP's jacket, and F5s him. So the match is on. Omos may be turning babyface after all of this. In defeat. One of the ideas being thrown around. If you want to take it as sausage, go right ahead. If you've paid attention for the last month, every item that we've talked about is happening. Every item. In defeat, Omos losing to Brock Lesnar, MVP will be so angry at Omos for failing that MVP is going to put his hands on Omos. And we might have something like an Andre the Giant, Bobby Heenan moment from WrestleMania from years back. The only difference is we won't have Haku in the background waiting to give him the karate kick to the face. But you could have the Hurt Business, you know. And look, Bobby Lashley, people don't know if they should be cheering him right now or jeering him. Like, Bray Wyatt, is he a babyface or is he a heel? Tonight, there was a lot of people at ringside that were telling Bobby Lashley, kick his ass, meaning Bray Wyatt. You know, not everybody is thrilled about what's going on right now with Bray Wyatt. I mean, I'm not going to lose sleep over it. I don't know where this is going. It's, you know, for anyone out there that still thinks it's going to be the Hurt Business versus the Wyatt family, I think you got a clear picture tonight that, it looks like it is going to be Bray Wyatt versus Bobby Lashley. But do the Hurt Business, you know, get involved with it. But Omos could be the odd man out with this. And Omos could end up turning babyface. Now, I'm not saying that it's definitely going to happen, but it's definitely something to keep in the back of your mind, especially since, you know, if you're going to reintroduce the Hurt Business, you're not going to do a new and improved one with Omos at the helm, and you're certainly not going to have Bobby Lashley return to that group and coexist with Omos. That's not going to happen. It's going to be, you know, the four of them minus Omos, or the Hurt Business is not reuniting. And look, the fact that they keep having MVP bringing up Bobby Lashley, they want you to keep thinking about MVP and the Hurt Business when you think of Bobby Lashley. That's why it keeps getting brought up. So something to think about in the back of your mind. Something definitely to think about. So couple other matches tonight. Cody Rhodes over Chad Gable. It was a fun match, but, you know, they're forcing the split with Otis and Chad Gable. And, you know, it just, I don't know. I mean, I understand why they want to do it. I think in the end, Maxxine Dupri might use Otis or embarrass him. And then what happens? You know, is Chad Gable could have come to the rescue of Otis and they turn babyface? I don't know. But tonight, basically what went down was Chad Gable and Cody Rhodes were having a great match. Otis is at ringside, but Otis is not paying attention to the match. He's looking all around for Maxxine Dupri, and she's not around. So as I showed you earlier with that picture, you know, Otis is looking the other way. Cody Rhodes comes out, and, you know, he's pointing somewhere in the crowd, and he's telling Otis, she's over there. And Otis is not even realizing that Cody Rhodes is next to him. He thinks it's Chad Gable for a second. Otis turns around. He looks at him. He's like, what are you doing? And Cody Rhodes is like, nothing. So Otis starts charging after Cody, and Cody throws him over the barricade area. It looked kind of rough. At one point, you thought that Otis was going to fall headfirst to the floor. I think he finally straightened himself out as he was going over. You usually don't see Otis going over a barricade. But what happens? Chad Gable gets distracted from it. Cody Cutter and Crossroads, match is over. And then later on, Maxine Dupri and Maximum Male Models are going to be at ringside for Otis, and that backfires because Johnny Gargano beat Otis tonight. So Alpha Academy in all disarray. Tonight also, we had, and a lot of people were angry about this because they're already having Piper Niven not only losing, but Piper Niven getting fruit rolled up from Candice LeRae. Think about that for a minute, especially how big she is. What happened was Candice LeRae came out for her match against Piper. Nikki Cross is stalking Candice LeRae. And for some reason, you know, like whenever they want to do like sympathy for someone, like their hair is all wet, they don't do their makeup, they look like they were just outside in a rainstorm. So Nikki Cross comes out and she's at ringside and Candice LeRae is a little creeped out by her. And she's just watching and she looks like, as we've talked many months ago, like that puppy dog. Yeah, it follows you everywhere no matter what. Like, leave me alone. So she's at ringside. At one point, Piper goes outside the ring, throws Nikki Cross into the barricade pretty hard. But Piper, looking at Nikki Cross, taking her eye off the match, and here comes Candice LeRae with a fruit roll-up. So Piper gets pinned. Candice LeRae wins. Nikki Cross is sort of happy, but Sanity is supposed to return. So in the end, Nikki Cross is probably going to stab Candice LeRae in the back. So it is what it is. All right, Judgment Day. And you realize now that they don't have much of anything for Damian Priest at WrestleMania. Judgment Day is in the back. Dominic calls himself ex-con Dom. Liv Morgan is taking on Rhea Ripley Friday at SmackDown. Dominic's going to be there. Ex-con Dom is going to be there in case his father wants to get involved again. And yes, there will be a confrontation once again. But Dom bashing his father, Rhea Ripley trolling Charlotte Flair, Finn Balor not only trolling Edge that he wants a match at Mania. We don't know the stipulation yet, but, you know, all points are leading towards possible retirement. Somebody leaves WWE, somebody retires. And I don't like it because if they do a retirement stipulation, everybody believes it's only going in one direction, and that's Edge losing the match. Hopefully they go in a totally different direction. The question is what? We just had the chamber. You know, we just had, you know, the mixed tag match, which should have been the end of it, and it's not. So, you know, we'll see what ends up happening there. But Damian Priest, really not much of anything. Now, Johnny Gargano, you know, he is being interviewed because he's going to have a match with Otis, and Judgment Day shows up. And Gargano makes fun of them, calling them, oh, you're in your goth, you know, phase right now. And Damian Priest wants to lay hands on Gargano. Finn Balor says, you know, tranquilo, relax. And he gives Gargano credit for having some stones to stand up to the Judgment Day. But next week, we get a repeat of NXT Portland. Remember NXT TakeOver Portland, that match with Gargano versus Finn Balor? I remember that was a great match. They are going to face each other next week. But right now, it seems like Damian Priest doesn't have a match for WrestleMania. Doesn't even have a feud, if you really think about it. So, I don't think you do Edge versus Finn Hell in a Cell. You're not going to have a Hell in a Cell structure set up for one of the two nights at WrestleMania. I just don't see that happening, especially with the way that is set up there. I don't see anything with Hell in a Cell. You know, I don't even see with a cage. I think, you know, something like that. Plus, could you imagine the size of that crowd? It would be kind of a hard. I mean, everybody would be looking at the screens. Nah, no Hell in a Cell at WrestleMania. Definitely not. But other matches tonight, Asuka over Carmella. After the match is over, Bianca Belair comes out, reminds Asuka that you can't spell WrestleMania without EST. This leads to Carmella laying out Bianca. you know where that's leading. Next week, Carmella takes on Bianca Belair. So basically, Carmella is getting prime opponents leading up to Mania, but in the end, she's not going to have something big at Mania. If she does form the Tag Team Alliance with Chelsea Green, who knows? They could end up being your next women's tag team champions. Believe it or not, you really think about it, they definitely have that possibility. You know, but they haven't teamed yet. You know, they just had a backstage segment with Adam Pearce, so we got to wait a little bit and see. But I think WWE sees it. I think the reaction tonight to them next to each other, I mean, look, give us credit. We all noticed that the first week when Chelsea Green came in, that she wasn't acting like a Karen. So people tonight, I don't think ever expected Chelsea Green and Carmella, you know, associating with each other. But yeah, it definitely looks like it fits like a glove. So we'll see what happens. Miz announcing that he's going to host WrestleMania. Seth Rollins comes out and Seth, you know, says to Miz, you know, since Logan Paul's not here, why don't you call him? Why don't you FaceTime him? And Miz says, no, I'm going to WrestleMania, you're not. And Seth Rollins lays him out. Seth Rollins is not happy. He lays out the Miz. And I love little things like this. Seth Rollins grabs the Miz's phone. And Seth Rollins is trying to get into the phone. Now, any of us, most of us have the face feature that locks the phone, that you have to, it has to have face recognition. So Seth Rollins is playing with the phone and it won't unlock. They did do the sound effect on the in the arena. So for people that was not the actual phone. That was a sound effect. But Seth Rollins, because the Miz was laid out in the ring, Seth Rollins picks up the Miz's head, opens up his eyes, puts the phone next to the Miz, and then you hear click when the phone's released. So he looks in the phone and he FaceTimes Logan Paul, and Logan Paul answers. Seth Rollins tells him to show up next week in Boston, and Logan Paul says that he will see him face-to-face. And Seth Rollins finishes by saying, bye-bye, bitch, hangs up on him, throws the phone in the middle of the ring, and as Seth Rollins is exiting the ring, here comes the Miz. He wakes up and he's crawling towards his phone. He set up perfect. So Seth Rollins re-enters the ring, hits him with a curb stomp, knocks the Miz out. So, yeah, I'm surprised how many people that didn't know what Rollins was doing with the phone. He was unlocking it with the face recognition. I have face recognition on my phone. I have I don't have the thumb thing anymore because I have the newer iPhone that doesn't have the that round circle thing anymore. So it's just face recognition for me. So, the main event tonight, Io Sky and Dakota Kai taking on Lita and Becky Lynch for the tag titles. Becky Lynch earlier on talking about bucket list, that this is one of her bucket list is to become tag team champion and, you know, showing a lot of respect for Lita. Even though they feuded in the past, Lita showing nothing but love and respect for Becky Lynch. You know, early on when they did the introductions, you know, this was the look of Dakota Kai and Io Sky. Very happy, very excited. You know, when I saw all the screenshots trying to grab one for Lita and Becky, I'm like, that's the look that we have when it's 10:15 at night and we're like, oh, fuck, we still got 45 minutes left in Raw. Tell me that isn't the look on your face when you think Raw is almost over and then you look at the clock and it's only 10:10. You're like, shit, we got 50 more minutes of Raw. So is that focused or is that, I'm not that excited, you know? But they have the match. And I showed you earlier to Bray Wyatt's music. Dun, dun, dun. Dun, 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 dun. You know, they're getting some early advantage. I mean, the match was very even. I hated the fucking commercial break because something felt like it was missing. As far as the main event, I think we're so used to DQ Bayley interferences. And I don't think a lot of people expected Trish Stratus there tonight. You know, we all knew that Trish Stratus was ultimately going to get involved with this, but you know, I'm very surprised. I'm very surprised. Now, again, if you go back and you watch the match, I think the timing was off a little bit. We were already at 10:56 p.m., and there's no overrun with WWE, so the next thing you know, we hear Trish's music. Now, look, Trish is on social media all the time, and she's always showing off how beautiful she looks. So, you know, she didn't look any different tonight other than she's running down the ring. And you know what? What I liked about it is that, she didn't stop and do her, like, intro. You remember when Jeff Hardy made his AEW debut and he's trying to rescue his brother Matt? And instead of just running to the ring like Trish Stratus did tonight, like he stopped and he started doing the dumb shit. Someone else did that not too long ago. They made their return or something, and he was doing some like goofy shit before they hit the ring. But Trish comes out and she goes right at Bayley and she lays her out. And the timing was off a little bit because at one point Lita was on the middle rope getting ready to do the moonsault. And I guess she was waiting for Dakota Kai or Io Sky to knock her off the rope. And it was like, it looked like it was going to take forever. But in the end, Bayley tries to interfere and Trish pulls her off of the apron, knocks her to the floor. Lita hits the moonsault. And we have new WWE Women's Tag Team Champions. She pins Dakota Kai. Yeah. No, she pins Io Sky. What am I saying? Yeah, because Dakota Kai tried to knock her off the rope. And listen, like I said, there's really no reason to repeat it, but I think it's necessary. This gave me the same vibe back in the day with Edge and Hulk Hogan. The only difference is, you know, I was happy when Hulk Hogan returned in 02 for No Way Out, you know, because it was only a little more than a year removed from WCW going out of business. Hall and Nash still looked decent. I think Kevin Nash probably looked the best out of the three. And, you know, the nostalgia and the match that Hogan had with The Rock. Listen, Hogan fucked up big time after that. We all know about his old personal fuck-ups and everything. But when Hogan took on The Rock at WrestleMania, one of my favorite matches of all time that still holds up today has not lost any shelf life at all. And you still had that nostalgia for Hogan. But it felt like a dream come true for Edge to win with one of his idols growing up, as in Hulk Hogan, if you remember the storyline. But then they put the championship on Hogan, and people were like, no. It felt forced. I remember doing my hotline at that time. This was right at the beginning of doing the podcasting, too. And when Undertaker hogtied Hulk Hogan and rode in the motorcycle in the arena, in the back, going up and down the halls with Hogan hogtied to it. It's like one of the greatest moments it was SmackDown, right? I think it was SmackDown that they did that. And a lot of people were not thrilled about Hulk Hogan getting that championship at that time. You know, the vibe was not very good. If you'd go back to Wayback Machine and look at a lot of fan reaction to when Hogan won that belt, not a lot of people were happy about it. But with Edge, there was still that nostalgia, and the fact that Edge was in his prime, it was a feel-good moment. It didn't last that long, but it's still a moment big enough that it is still celebrated to this day, July 4th, 2002. So, you know, we'll see. But Lita, Becky Lynch, you know, listen, you're not going to have Trish versus Bayley one-on-one at Mania. I know a lot of people think that could happen. Bayley just did an interview with Ariel Helwani. I definitely recommend you go check it out. She talks about a wide array of topics, and nothing is off the table, obviously. Ariel Helwani brings up Sasha Banks, and he asks Bayley point blank, you know, you're close friends with her. You were, you know, there when she made her debut, New Japan, when she won the championship. Do you think Sasha Banks will be back in WWE? And Bayley, you could tell this was just not a cop-out, you know, generic answer. Bayley truly believes that Sasha Banks' heart and soul is WWE. And she feels that, and this is kind of, if you remember what we talked about last year, You remember when we were trying to like fantasize or wonder what that discussion between Triple H and Sasha Banks must have been late last year? And maybe Triple H told Sasha Banks, look, go out there, do your movies, go to do the runway, do all these appearances, have fun, do your bucket list. You remember when I said bucket list? Enjoy yourself, do everything. We got plenty of time, and you'll be back for WrestleMania 40. You know, it feels that way. And the way Bayley comes across in his interview with Ariel Helwani, you get the same vibe that Sasha Mercedes Moné, Sasha Banks, she's getting to do things now that she would not have had that opportunity if she was still with WWE. So right now she is, you know, branching out, you know, doing some opportunity. Let's see what kind of other movie roles she gets, what appearances. And ultimately, she'll, and who knows, her value, her stock may actually go up. A lot of people feel that way about Cody Rhodes. When Cody Rhodes left WWE, give credit for, you know, him increasing his value while in AEW. But it wasn't just AEW. It was what he was doing in Japan. It was what he was doing, you know, outside of WWE. Cody Rhodes, you know, reinvented himself. And, you know, his value, Scott, look, the guy's going to main event against Roman Reigns. The guy has put on phenomenal matches. You know, his value upon his return is hell of a lot higher than it was before he left. Sasha Banks was already considered one of the top women of this generation in pro wrestling. So, you know, when she returns, let's hope her value is even higher. But Bayley truly believes that Sasha Banks will be back. And right now she is fulfilling and she is enjoying herself and she is doing things and branching out and, you know, expanding her brand. And we'll see what happens. But I personally think at WrestleMania right now, Bayley, and here's another thing. When you watch the interview with Ariel Helwani and Bayley, what comes across is how much she enjoys working with Io Sky and Dakota Kai. And her, she doesn't come out and say it, but she does tease that a bucket list at WrestleMania would be to face Lita and Trish Stratus. So, you know, and we had this conversation last week. You know, when you look back at Becky Lynch's career, you look back in Bayley's career, and they had the opportunity at a WrestleMania to go up against and team up, depending on which person we're talking about, with two of the greatest women, you know, in WWE, you know, ever. And sure, they were not the most, you know, spectacular wrestlers in the ring, but beloved entertainers, and they still can go. So this is an opportunity. This is a fantasy. This is, you know, a beautiful thing for Bayley and Becky Lynch. That's why, you know, you keep it as a six-woman tag at Mania. And that's where they're going to be going with this. So now Bayley next week will address Trish Stratus, address that they lost the tag titles because of Trish Stratus. And then this will ultimately lead to the six-woman tag match at WrestleMania. You're not going to take Trish Stratus and put her by herself and then put Lita and Becky Lynch by themselves for a title defense. You just want that feel-good moment, seeing like yesteryear and the present, you know, and in some ways, some of the future, and seeing them all in one match. So, Jay Paulin. He says it's him, King of Games. His question is, where do I think FTR ultimately ends up in 2023? I still think they're going back to WWE. You know, we've had this conversation before that 2023 is going to be the year of the contract. A lot of deals are coming up in AEW. And look, with all due respect, FTR's deal with AEW is over soon. I think it's like, what, 2 months around that time period? And they requested time off for pretty much the remainder of their contract. Tony Khan granted it. And there's no animosity there, but it's pretty obvious if you pay attention to Dax's podcast that they are pro CM Punk. They are good friends with CM Punk. And you look at the crumbs you know, shortly after Dax's podcast debuted, remember when I did Public Enemy number 4, number 3, number 2, number 1? Dax Harwood, I said, would be Public Enemy number 3. First was CM Punk, then it was Andrade, and then it was Dax. And you saw a lot of the AEW audience, you know, turning on Dax for what he talked about in his podcast, then taking the side of CM Punk and this and that. And I thought Dax originally was just trying to be peacemaker. But, you know, look, if Tony Khan truly was that invested in FTR, they would not have had the piss-poor, pathetic record that they had in AEW in 2022. I mean, I know they got Tag Team of the Year for the Observer Awards, and that's fine. That's who the readers voted. I respect it. I don't agree with it. I think the Usos number one. But the point is that FTR, when you look at their AEW record, forget New Japan, forget Ring of Honor, forget everything else. Look at their AEW record. Their record in 2022 is like 3-6. I mean, you think of the entire year. I mean, if that's one of your favorites, or if you really were supportive of them, I don't think, and plus, when they were holding three different sets of belts, why did they not get the AEW tag titles? They were on AEW television, and the only belts they didn't have was the AEW tag titles. So you get the feeling that Tony Khan is not really FTR guys. He definitely sees their worth in pro wrestling, and he sees that the fans love these guys to an extent, but they're not Tony Khan guys, you know. So I think that if WWE makes the right offer, they're WWE bound. I know a lot of people would love to see the Elite versus CM Punk and FTR. That is definitely a fantasy match, and I would love to see it. I definitely would pay to see that, but I don't know if that's happening, man. I don't know if it's happening. CM Punk possibly, look, as I said a couple of weeks ago, I think CM Punk has a better chance going back to AEW than re-signing with WWE. I still feel that way. The problem is that CM Punk's core feelings about some of the people within AEW, it's not a matter of letting bygones be bygones. It's not a matter of, oh, let's just, you know, we're grown people and we make mistakes and things got overheated and there wasn't right communication and, you know, we've all apologized. The foundation of AEW is still the same. The mindset is still the same. The way the crumbs are fed to the reporters online, those elite crumbs that we always talk about, that's still the same. None of that has changed. So if none of that has changed and it hasn't improved, how do you justify CM Punk going back to that company? As selfish wrestling fans, we would love it. But the whole reason why that exploded, that nothing has changed. Any journalist online, you think they learned their lesson? When they got shit grotesquely wrong, do you think they learned their lesson? They think just deleting tweets is the answer. Oh, you know, like the one from Men in Black. Oh, no harm done. When people just say really fucked up shit, you know, I mean, Saraya definitely could piss off a lot of people online, but you saw Ringside News, how they went after her and her brother. You think anybody out there has learned their lesson? And I think the only, you know, I almost want to put soap in my mouth for saying this. Bruce Mitchell seems to be the only person that might have actually learned his lesson. That's the moron who questioned why we didn't know at the time that we had a right to know why Brody Lee passed away. It's him, right? Bruce Mitchell? Is that his name? I think he's the only one that might have learned his lesson from just totally fucking up. Everybody else hasn't gotten better. It's gotten worse. Every week there's bullshit stuff floating around. So, yes, everybody says it's Bruce Mitchell. So that's pretty much it tonight. Wednesday, boy. Oh, I do have some fun with all of you. We're going to do Who Dat. And I'm going to put the chat on the screen. You know, let's do it now. Just for shits and giggles. I'm going to put the live chat on the screen. And I'm going to put a picture on the screen. I'm going to put a smaller shot, and then I'll put a bigger shot as a little, you know, hint. I want to see who is the first person who could tell me who dat. who that. For everybody in audio only, don't worry. I will reveal who that, who this is. Friends, who that? I just posted a picture of somebody. I want to see how many people say that it's Adam Pearce. All right. Oh, wow. So you all saw the picture. So you all saw the picture. Okay, props. Props to Jay Paulin and Rams fan and JS and Garth and Dorian and Cerebral and Roderick. And everybody knows it's not just incredible. But, yeah, that is Charles Robinson, everyone. That is actually Charles Robinson. Charles Robinson has decided to shave off the locks. He got a little bit of facial hair. You know, the funny thing is, I'm not going to lie, when I saw the picture, I was like, oh, God, I hope he didn't have chemo. Because, like, he still, I mean, he was balding a little bit. He was thinning out. That might be the better way to put it. But, like, he shaved his locks. And it doesn't look like Charles Robinson anymore. But, you know, I wish, look, I still have hair. But I was used to be envious of Charles Robinson's hair. I mean, you know, I never wanted to grow it. To me, it always looked like more like Buddy Landell's hair than Ric Flair's. But Little Nate, he's not Little Nate anymore. So, all right, NXT. NXT, that's better. Gigi Dolin will be appearing tomorrow. We're also going to have Valentina Feroz versus Sol Ruka. Briggs and Jensen will be taking on Indus Shear, and Wes Lee will be doing another open challenge for the North American Championship. They got a couple of them. Oh, and I think, is Tyler Bate taking on Trick Williams tomorrow? No, he's taking on Carmelo Hayes. That's going to be a banger, and I bet you it's the opening match. NXT, the last couple of weeks, taking a little page out of AEW's book. I don't know if anybody's noticed it, putting the banger match at the opening of NXT. Couple of weeks now, three out of the last 4 weeks, I believe the highest quarter for NXT was quarter one. And they don't have Big Bang Theory leading them in. But I will tell you this, and I tell you straight up, this is the preview for Dynamite for this Wednesday. This weekend is AEW Revolution. My friends, does this look like a go-home show to you? Now, yes, we're going to have the face of the Revolution ladder match. And so, by the way, Samoa Joe's going to be on commentary. Gee, can you guess whoever wins is going to challenge Samoa Joe probably? And Takeshka's in it. Eddie Kingston is in it. Ortiz. Action Andretti, I don't know why. Sammy Guevara, Powerhouse Hobbs. I think that's Lance Archer is in it. And is that Ray Phoenix? I really can't see. Oh, that might be Bandito. But I think everybody and their mother thinks that Takeshka is going to probably win that. Orange Cassidy versus Big Bill for the All-Atlantic Championship. Does anybody honestly think that Big Bill is going to win that championship? I don't think so. Hook against Matt Hardy. You think Hook is going to lose the FTW championship? I don't think so. In fact, I wouldn't be surprised if we get some backfire happen on both of those matches. Tony Storm versus Riho. Just feels random. Chris Jericho against Peter Avalon. And the Casino Tag Team Battle Royale for the last spot for the tag titles. I don't know why, but that just does. I mean, look, of course we're going to get interviews by Moxley and Paige and everybody else. But wow, that just, I don't, it's not like, you know, it's not pulling me in as a go-home show for Revolution. But hey, you know, a lot of people last week thought their rating was going to go down, and they broke a million. And, yeah, we got to do this week in wrestling ratings. And a little teaser. Let's do a little teaser. This week in wrestling history, everyone. This is a little pictorial tease of this week in wrestling history. If you look at the Mankind picture, you notice the logo in the top, in the lower left-hand corner? That is not WWF. That's not even ECW. Yes, he wrestled as Mankind in USWA. Shawn Michaels joining Vince McMahon's Kiss My Ass Club. Hulk Hogan's, Yuppie Pie, the strap match. Mike Tyson joining D-Generation X. Let's see, what else do we got? British Bulldog, I think, with the European Championship. Crash Holly doing a 24/7 thing. I think that's when Jerry Lawler and the Cat quit WWF at the time, or Jerry Lawler quit when the Cat got released. Three count, if I remember, I think they took on Brian Knobbs 3-on-1 for the hardcore title, and they won it. Three guys all held the hardcore title at the same time. And yes, Mae Young did give birth to the hand. That happened this week in history. NXT arrival, you know, Tough Enough, the beginning of Tough Enough. XPW having ECW stars at the time in the year 2000. And what about this match, everyone? Did you ever know this existed? Eddie Guerrero versus Rey Mysterio versus CM Punk. That match did happen. It did not happen in WWE. And then you had Ring of Honor, Manhattan Mayhem 6. There's a boatload of awesome wrestling history. And for anybody out there that wants to see a little quick synopsis, when you replay this, you could pause this and you could just take a quick look at it. That is some of the audio and the topics that is talked about on the show. Yeah, The Rock attempts to make John Cena his Kung Pao bitch, and then The Rock gets rattled because John Cena exposes that The Rock had all those cheat notes written on his arm. That happened this week in history. What about Brock Lesnar predicting him ending The Undertaker's WrestleMania streak shortly after CM Punk quit WWE? Years before. So there is some awesome history here. And I guarantee you there's quite a few audio clips of moments that you probably never knew existed. So that's going to be a good one to tune into. Now, speaking of history, now let's go back 7 days. Let's go over the ratings. Before I do, I saw some super shout-outs come in. Havili, celebrating 2 months as a channel member. Thank you very much. An elite channel member, I might add. If FTR and Wardlow did not turn face, was there going to be a third match against the Inner Circle where the losing factions disbanded? No, absolutely not. FTR was used to help elevate Wardlow at the time. Wardlow, they wanted to attach him to some more popular names just to get him over that much more. You know, if you think about the Wardlow character, he probably didn't need to align himself with anyone, but they did. But no, they would never have, and FTR and Wardlow were not a faction. So they really would have been no reason for them to disband. And, you know, even though AEW has teased a disbanding of the Jericho Appreciation Society or the Inner Circle, but in the end, you know, oh, we're on good terms, and 2 weeks later, oh, we got to settle things out, and a week later, the state of this, you know, it's just storylines, you know, out of nowhere. I'm not complaining, but nah, there was never a chance. And Nero Faye with the 15th spot, Nier, says, Israelis are fighting for democracy these days, and we will win. Yeah, my friends, Nier is tuning in all the way from Israel. And here in New York, you know, we only see from thousands of miles away, you know, all the turmoil that is going on in the Middle East. You know, my God, you see even with what Poland with the earthquakes, 5.8 today as well. And he's right in the midst of all of this battle. You know, you think of Palestinians, Israelis. So, hey, if I could be a little bit of an escape once in a while, get your mind off of that. You know, I could only imagine how that must be. You know, if you said to me right now, DT, you could live in the Bronx or you could live in Israel, or you could live in Spanish Harlem or you could live in Israel, or I could live in the worst fucking neighborhood in Philadelphia. Is it Kensington? I probably would lean towards Kensington over that area. I'm not saying Israel is, you know, not safe. It's just having that unrest every night, you know, like, I give you a lot of props, my friend. Keep fighting the good fight. And I see a lot of people in the chat wishing you the same. So much love. Much love. Little quick tidbit for those that are interested. Main event from WWE tonight. Michin over Tamina. Cedric Alexander and Shelton Benjamin over Idris and Ofi and Malik Blade. So those are your main event matches for tonight. Let's look quickly at this past week in ratings across the board. Now, SmackDown rating only comes out literally hours before we go live, about 7 hours before. Quarter hours never come in this soon. So we always go back a week early with quarter hours. That only applies for Rampage and for SmackDown. But I have some very interesting ratings for all of you. This past Friday, SmackDown did 2,408,000 viewers. That is up from last week's 2,383,000. The week before, this will surprise you. There's some surprises this week. The highest rated segments of SmackDown the week before, believe it or not, was the match between Drew McIntyre and Sheamus versus the Viking Raiders. The backstage segment with Karrion Kross and Rey Mysterio that set up their match. And they had a little video package about the Bloodline. That did 2,515,000. The lowest quarter was Natty and Shotzi taking on Ronda Rousey and Shayna. That did 2,309,000. So you didn't have that much of a drop throughout those 2 hours. Much smaller gap than usual, which is probably a good thing for WWE. Rampage this past Friday did 409,000 viewers. That is up from the week before's 287. Now that 287 rating, the highest quarter was the Elite versus Top Flight and AR Fox. That's when they were doing all the basketball bullshit during the match. That quarter hour did 308. And the lowest quarter for that night was, believe it or not, the Elite House of Black angle, which was the next quarter. Wheeler Yuta and Orange Cassidy backstage, and the first half of Ricky Starks versus Daniel Garcia. That rating dropped down to 272. So the Elite were part of the highest and the lowest of the night. Impact Wrestling did 105,000 viewers. That is up from last week's 92,000. New Japan this week did 54,000 viewers. That is slightly down from last week's 60. Dynamite this past Wednesday, this will surprise some people, they did 1,028,000. That is up from the week before is 824. Now, the highest segment of the night, we never include quarter one because of always the lead-in for the Big Bang Theory. There's put it this way, we're soon going to have a streak that's going to be longer than WCW Nitro beating Raw, where quarter one is always the highest rated quarter of the night because so many people are leading in from Big Bang and they don't turn the TV, they don't change the channel right away. They might be in the other room, they might be taking a shit, taking a shower, they might have left the TV on, they might have fell asleep, and Dynamite comes on, hey, look, all these people, the suckers, didn't change the channel. So the highest quarter of the night was the Acclaimed versus the Firm. In the same quarter, we had the segment with Christian Cage and Jack Perry where he smashed Jungle Boy's head into the chair, Samoa Joe's promo, and Saraya versus Sky Blue. That did 1,084,000 viewers. The lowest quarter, not too bad, not too bad. The Revolution Tag Team Battle Royale and the AEW announcement. Yes, the AEW announcement scored the lowest quarter of the night. But it did 933, which is still a decent number. So if you notice this week, we didn't have major drops in any of the shows, except for one. And oh my God, wait till you hear how much this rating dropped. And it's obvious what the reason is. We'll get to it in a second. NXT last Tuesday did 589,000 viewers. That is down from the week before's 640. The highest quarter last week was Ilya versus Trick Williams. That did 626,000 viewers. That was the opening of NXT. The lowest segment from that show was Tony D'Angelo and Von Wagner's backstage segment. Saul Ruka's video package and Indy Hartwell versus JC Jane. That only did 562. Again, only a 56,000 viewership drop. Not big, but the big one, Raw. Last week's Raw did 2,006,000 viewers. And I know what you're saying right away. That is an awesome number. That is an awesome number. The week before was 1,812,000. So they had a nice increase. Could you imagine what these ratings would look like if Raw was only 2 hours? Well, we have seen for over a year now, it is consistent. It is very rare that it doesn't happen. The third hour always kills WWE. I will not be surprised if the women's tag team title match tonight is one of the lowest quarter hours of the night. Not because it stunk. People are just tired. They don't want to go through 3 hours of Raw like they used to. The highest rated segment from last Monday was Sami Zayn and Baron Corbin having their brawl, which led to a match. That segment, that quarter, did 2,248,000 viewers. The lowest segment of the night, Austin Theory versus Edge. That match, which went the whole quarter, only did 1,689,000 viewers. That is almost 600,000 viewers lost by the time you got to the end of the show. Just think about every other show that we brought up just now is a two-hour show, it, with the exception of Rampage. And we don't get quarter hours for Impact or MLW. By the way, MLW did 97,000 viewers, up from last week's 73,000. That's a nice little increase, but 97,000 viewers is still far less than what everybody was anticipating. So maybe MLW can get some people to return and build on that. But Raw last week, man, by the time you got to Austin Theory versus Edge, about 560,000 viewers packed it in already. They're like, I'll just watch the replay. I'll just watch a Twitter clip. That's good enough for me. And that's not good for advertising. That's not good for negotiations. I truly believe, and I'm not just saying this, I'm not even going to put it in a synopsis. I truly believe Raw's going to go back to 2 hours. May not happen this year, may not happen next year, but I truly believe within the next year or two, Raw goes back, go back to 2 hours. Listen, getting 1,600,000 viewers at 11 o'clock at night, 10:45 at night, is still a good number. Think about that. We're not talking about, you know, mainstream television like ABC, Fox, CBS, NBC, ESPN. We're talking about, you know, USA Network. 1,600,000 at 10:45 at night is a pretty damn good number. It's impressive. But when you realize how many viewers leave the show by the time it gets to hour two, I mean, unless that third hour advertising revenue or the negotiations is far less than one and two for the hours, you know, if you trim Raw down to 2 hours, every week the rating would be well over 2 million. You know, we're at 2 million right now because of Elimination Chamber, because of the road to WrestleMania, because of Cody Rhodes, Sami Zayn, Roman Reigns, and everything else going on. And there's many others that we're leaving out. If you take out that third hour, their ratings would look tremendous. But that third hour always drags them down big time. I think maybe just for shits and giggles from now on, I'll start computing what the rating would have been if Raw ended at 10 o'clock instead of 11 o'clock, just to give you an idea. And think about this. The rating would probably be even higher for the first 2 hours because you would have people who normally would tune out by hour two that may say, you know what, let me stick and watch the whole thing since it ends at 10 o'clock. So you know you're going to get a bigger match at 10 than compared to 11. So, all right. Before we go, theme parks with Johnny with a five spot. DT, I feel when WWE does well, all other promotions do better, especially during WrestleMania season. You know, the funny thing is, if you look at the track record of AEW the last couple of years, it's actually not the case. AEW seems to do better as far as viewership when you get towards the spring and the fall. And that might be more because, you know, CM Punk debuted during that time. It was the latter part of the year. You had some wrestlers come in the latter parts of those years. So I think it's not necessarily seasonal, but I think it was just the timing of some contracts. But, you know, it puts you in a fun wrestling frame of mind. Listen, if you notice, I mean, everybody and their mother notices this, every year, wherever WrestleMania goes, you get 10,000 indie shows in the vicinity. you see Impact Wrestling used to go to those areas. Ring of Honor, New Japan, mostly Ring of Honor would always, wherever WrestleMania goes, if WrestleMania goes to blah, 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 Stan, in Georgia, Ring of Honor is 10 miles away. If they go to California, Ring of Honor will be 30 miles away. If they go to Florida, Ring of Honor will be 10 miles away. They're not the only ones. GCW, a lot of promotions do it because there's so many people coming in from other countries, other states, you know, fans that don't normally go to live wrestling events, and they may have always fantasized, hey, I always wanted to go to an AEW show or a Ring of Honor show. Hey, I'm going for WrestleMania. I'm not doing none today. Let me go. That's what happens. Look, when we had to get together a few years ago when I used to do shows with a few other guys, you know, we had to get together WrestleMania weekend, and we had people coming in from all different states. We had people that flew in just to hang out and WrestleMania and then flew out. So people do capitalize with WrestleMania. But I think it's more of live events and autograph signings and conventions and not necessarily TV. Because if I'm in a WrestleMania frame of mind, if Rampage doesn't entice me, I'm not going to be like, well, you know what? I'm in a WrestleMania frame of mind. Let me watch Rampage or let me watch Dynamite or let me watch Impact. You know, if there's like a WrestleMania show or something right before it, I might be inclined to still watch something else. But I don't think the ratings have really reflected that, to be honest with you. It's definitely something that we should probably take a closer look at. But I think by now, you probably would have Brandon Thurston of WrestleNomics that probably would have brought that to surface. And I've never seen him do a report about something like that, which would be fascinating if that was the case. But I think it's more about live events than actual TV. But I definitely dig what you're saying. Look, if I'm hungry, you know, there's a good chance that I might go to, you know, go out to eat somewhere, you know, if I'm hungry or, you know what I mean? If I'm out and about, I might be inclined to do something. So if you're getting that wrestling bug back and you're, hey, I haven't watched wrestling for a while, but you know what? I'm enjoying it again. If you enjoy being a wrestling fan, you know, you might decide, hey, you know, let me watch this or let me watch that. Oh, this person's on. So I could see it. I could see it. All right. I'm going to jet out of here. We are right around 90 minutes. We did everything. You know what? I do want to get into one more thing before we go. Shayna Baszler. I don't know how to react about this, because I am a big fan of Shayna Baszler. I mean, it's no secret. She did an interview with the WWE Dwosh, I think that's how it's pronounced, or Dwosh, I think it's Dutch. It's a channel, I think it's WWE related. And during this interview, they were talking about the chants that she and Ronda Rousey have been getting. You can't wrestle. You can't wrestle. Now, we talked about those chants 2 weeks ago. And I think by the end of that match against Natty and Shotzi, I think they kind of shut up the fans. But the chants still do come out from time to time. She had two sets of comments to it. One set of the comments I thought was great. The other set left me scratching my head. When she talks about the chants, she says it's funny. You'll hear these "you can't wrestle" chants. People telling us, you know, all we do is MMA. We don't know how to wrestle. She says we're probably the only two women in the locker room that actually knows how to do a double leg takedown, a real double leg takedown. She says that's wrestling. She says it's funny the way people think about us because we're too good. I like it when I'm doing stuff, and I like looking in the audience. And I have people watching my matches between their fingers, and they're like, oh, no. Oh, no, I like that. So I don't really have a problem with that. But then she had me scratching my head because she goes on to say this. Get this. I dabble in comic books, and there is a Batman comic where someone says, why do you call yourself a bat? You don't fly. And he says, I don't fly because I don't need to fly. Me and Rhonda don't fly around because we don't need to. Other people have to do that because they don't need to know how to grab your arm and twist it in this direction. We do. It's different. If you look at that way and open your mind, specifically in the United States. And she brings up Japan and how the Japanese style is different. And everything is fine. But I'm confused why she brought that up, because I don't think anybody out there is asking Ronda Rousey and Shayna Baszler to start jumping off the top rope and doing all this high-flying shit. You know, you can't wrestle. What they're saying is that whatever they're doing in the ring, they don't know how to do it. Trust me. Trust me. I will admit it. A lot of you who saw some of my wrestle crap, I had 3 matches in my lifetime. And one time I was in the ring with Louis. That was the same night where I got put through the table with the thumbtacks and had the bottle broken over my head and everything else. But I was in the ring hitting him with shoulder blocks and all this other stuff. And a lot of you saw the footage. And what was the chant that that building gave me that night? You can't wrestle. You can't wrestle. And honestly, as I was doing it, I was kind of saying to myself, oh, yeah, you kind of got a point there. But the point is, they're reacting of what they see, not what is perceived. So why she would say that, to me, in my opinion, makes no sense. And I'm a little surprised that that podcast didn't challenge her on that. Because I don't know anybody out there that says, oh, why doesn't Ronda Rousey do any fly-flying moves? Or Shayna Baszler, she should do some hurricanranas. I don't know anybody out there that's ever said that. So, Sam, yeah, I think Shinsuke did get lost in Japan. Shinsuke will be back on TV very, very soon. Will be very, very soon. Right now, they don't have much for him, obviously. I think he shows up shortly after Mania. Who knows? Maybe they will be able to give him something at Mania. I mean, well, look, we're still 5 weeks away. So anything could happen. But I have not heard of any injury. He had the match with Muda. And after that, not much of anything. So we'll see what happens. That should happen soon. So the Nikita Lyons contest, Charlie, the winner will be announced on Wednesday because that is part of the Wednesday show. Not everybody tunes into every show that I do over here. So if I announce the winner on this show, you know, a lot of people out there who don't tune in Wednesday, because not everybody watches AEW and NXT. My audience for that Wednesday programming is a lot smaller than what it is on the other nights. So, you know, to announce it here, probably 2/3 of everybody's like, what contest is he talking about? We didn't do the contest here. So the winner will be announced on Wednesday. And the next Q&A will be next Thursday. I was going to do it this Thursday, but I want to give everybody a week to get their questions in. So look for a thread in a community section on YouTube. And I put it there because everyone can access it and it's free. So we'll put that thread up in a day or two and I'll let everybody know any other shows. And that's it. So my friends, let me know what you thought about Raw. You know, did it give you nostalgia vibes? Did it feel like something was missing with that main event? I mean, it was a great moment, you know, to see Lita and Becky Lynch win the tag titles. You know, nothing, it doesn't always have to be a really deep storyline. And you know me, I don't really go hard and heavy, you know, about AEW stuff. You know, I know some storylines are a little weak, but, you know, it is what it is. It's just, it's the fault of having too many people on the show at the same time. So it spreads thin. But again, when you look at the women's division in WWE overall, the tag team division specifically, the WWE women's tag team division right now is rather weak. And, you know, right now we have more of a feel-good moment with Lita returning, getting a title. Hopefully she wrestles more than 2 or 3 times. She showed tonight that, you know, Becky Lynch could pick up a decent amount of slack if you know, Lita cannot go as much as she used to. That's what Becky Lynch is there for. You know, that's why I think Carmella and, you know, Chelsea Green might actually work out really, really good. So, but the road to WrestleMania, you pretty much know now what we're getting. I mean, there's really no other feuds out there other than maybe something with Otis. Maybe something with Elias, maybe an Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal. Like, there are no others out there. Maybe something with Liv Morgan. Who knows, Alexa Bliss. But there aren't, like, the WrestleMania path has been pretty much mapped out for almost everyone who has a match at Mania. And, yes, there'll be some additional matches added, but what we expect to happen is going to happen. Rey and Dom, Seth and Rollins, Theory and Cena. You know, tonight we got Brock and Omos, and we have a few others as well. I just hope that they add LA Knight and have LA Knight and The Miz co-host. So, my friends, I'm going to jet out of here. If you enjoyed the show, you know what to do. If you know anyone else out there that you think would like the channel, let them know about it. It is free. If you're not a subscriber yet, consider subscribing. That's free as well. Tomorrow, for my Patreon family, I will be live at 10:05 p.m. I don't recall if it's off the cuff or not, but I know we'll still have a solid episode tomorrow. And if I don't see you on Patreon, then join me Wednesday after Dynamite. I might be doing Revolution predictions on Wednesday because I don't want to get into it now, but AEW put out a press release that Revolution is going to be shown in some movie theaters again. And they listed about 8 matches. And that's pretty much the pull-in for the card. What I found interesting on that press release was a couple of words that they left out. If you look at that press release, I'll give you a little teaser. Just look at the matches closely. And there's one match that has an incomplete description. And when you figure out which match I'm talking about, you ask yourself, did AEW intentionally leave a few words out because it might have turned some people off who might have been interested in going to a movie theater? I know it sounds a little wacky right now, but if you look at that press release, you'll see exactly what I'm talking about. We'll talk about it Wednesday, but you know the card is going to have a lot less matches than usual because MJF and Bryan Danielson is going an hour. So that is normally about 4 matches minimum that's going to be eating up. So there's going to be less matches. We won't have the usual 4 or 5 added, you know, by the Friday's Rampage. So we'll probably do predictions Wednesday and bang it out early. And if they do add a match or two, you know, we can always bring those up on Saturday show. So everyone, have a great rest of your Monday. For my international friends, I know it's already Tuesday where you are. Have a good one. Be well, stay safe, and much love to all of you. Thank you, as always, for the support. You have a good day and good night.
As far back as I can remember, I always wanted to be a podcaster. For me to live any other way was nuts. To me, those goody-good people who work shitty jobs for bum paychecks and took the subway to work every day and worried about their bills were dead. I mean, they were suckers. They had no balls. If I wanted something, I just took it. I ran everything. I paid the bills. I paid the hosts. I even paid the masked maniac. Everybody had their hands out. Everything was for the taking. We always called each other good fellas. You would always hear from somebody. You're gonna like Don Tony. He's all right. He's a good fella. He's one of us. But if you're part of my crew, nobody ever tells you they're gonna get rid of you. It doesn't happen that way. There weren't any arguments or curses like in the movies. See, your haters come with smiles. They come as your friends, the people who claim they care the most for your life. And now that's all over. And that's the best part. Today everything is different. There's lots of action. I don't have to wait around for everything like everyone else. Oh, I didn't get the vaccine? Fuck you, vaccine me. Oh, your delivery guy has COVID? Fuck you, feed me. Right after I moved here, I ordered egg noodles and ketchup, and I got spaghetti with meat sauce. I'm no longer an average nobody, while they get to live the rest of their lives like a bunch of schnooks.
Just follow my voice. You don't really have a choice. And pull up your pants and do the Muscle Man dance. Now wiggle your behind. Erase your mind. Pull up your pants and do the Muscle Man dance. Oh.
Ha 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 ha!